Welcome to another episode of Oscar Month-ish.
Month-ish, post-Oscar celebration watching.
Yeah, and today we are talking about the thrill-a-minute lively Best Picture winner, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
Cool, Rick.
Oppenheimer.
I need a drink. I need a drink. Oh, got that good can opening there. Oh, wait, where's my camera? There it is.
Oh.
I've got the classic Mango Cart by Golden Road, one of my favorites.
Well, they didn't add any Pepsi to that?
It is mango season for me, so yeah.
I also have a beverage from...
How many mangoes are in yours?
Fort George, 0% mangoes, 0 degrees of mangoes. I have the Abstract Thought from Fort George Brewing. It is a light Northwest Pale Ale.
I got Waterloo Summer Berry.
You and your pressurized bladder.
All right. Does someone have trivia?
Bill has trivia.
Bill has trivia.
Cue the music.
Ryan, you can keep score if Bill doesn't want to.
Isn't he generous? I will keep score for my own trivia, thanks, like a proper game show host.
Oh, wow, look cool at you.
You guys.
Yeah.
We're going in the Wayback Machine today. Mm-hmm. I have classic Miseducation of Bill trivia.
So you're doing a reverse Rick trivia.
Uh-huh.
Is this going
to
be...
Shout out to our friend Nick. Tune in for the next 35 minutes.
Bill, is this going to be Family Feud style?
This is not going to be Family Feud style.
Okay, I'll have to change the, so I'll change the music.
Cut the damn music.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, should I ask some things about your thing, or you just want to tell us about it?
I'm just going to tell you about my thing.
Okay, let's hear about your thing.
Okay, you guys, the movie Oppenheimer... Mm-hmm. Came out in the year 2023.
Yes.
I have a list, Ryan.
Oh, yeah?
Of the top 10 highest grossing box office movies from the year 2023. Hmm. Number one is worth 10 points. Number 10 is worth 1 point. 3 strikes and you're out.
Okay.
Ryan, by virtue of being just generally more tolerable than Rick, you get to go first.
Well, I appreciate that, Bill. Let's see. Top grossing 2023. What came out in 2023? Barbie.
Number one, 10 points.
Hell yeah.
Way to go, Ryan.
Hell yeah. Are we taking turns here? Or is it hot hand?
And I'll just, you know, for the edification of everyone, Barbie, number one at $636 million in 2023.
Are we taking turns here? Or is this hot hand?
We're taking turns. All right.
Oppenheimer
is number 5 at $326 million in 2023. Rick, you get 6 points.
Is this a one round game? Is this when we're done with these, it's over?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, we're going all night long.
All night long.
Just like Oppenheimer, this is going to never end.
Mutually assured destruction.
What movies were big last year? Top Gun was over.
It's been a while since we've done this, and I think we've forgotten some of the strategy.
Right. It's got to be Aquaman. Did that come out? Yeah, Aquaman.
I think it did, but it is not on the list. Strike one for Ryan.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Number 4 at $358 million. Rick gets 7 points.
I've been kind of tuned out last year, so I'm going to have a hard time with this list. What about... Rick already guessed Oppenheimer, right? That was just the last
correct
one, right? Okay. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Strike 2.
You know, I'm having a problem with my guess because I had a guess that I thought would even beat Barbie, but I guess I thought it came out last year. Maybe I think we're having an issue with this. Do you have any movies that the box office could be over 2 years?
I'm only including the money it made in 2023.
Okay, I'm still going to go with it since Ryan has whiffed on a couple here. I'm going to go with Avatar, The Way of Water.
Number 7 made $283 million in 2023, made its first $684 million in 2022.
Got it.
Four more points for Rick.
Wait. No. Isn't it out? Didn't it come out in 2023 and it's like now it's out?
Came out in 2022.
That movie's a year old.
That movie's almost 2 years old.
That movie sucks. I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, I didn't see it.
I did.
Sure, it sucks.
I did, and it sucks.
And you like Avatar movies.
One of them.
The only one. The only other one.
What about, did John Wick 4 come out? John Wick 4.
Yes. Number 9.
Okay.
$187 million, 2 points for Ryan. Still in the game.
What's the score?
Well, in this round, currently it's 17 to 12, but Ryan has 2 strikes, and Rick gets to go till he gets 3 strikes, or till they're all named.
And I don't have a strike yet.
Correct. There's still out there is number 2, number 3, number 6, 8, and 10.
Ugh. This is a tough one. I'm having some problems with... There's got to be... I don't want to give any clues to Ryan here.
But when you guess a movie, it's gonna.
I'm gonna say Trolls 3.
No, Rick gets strike 1. But your head's in the right place, Rick.
I know. Mm.
Oh.
Which means cartoons.
The Mario Brothers movie.
Number 2, Super Mario Brothers movie, $574 million.
That's
Thanks for giving it away, Bill.
9 points for Ryan, and he's back in the lead.
Okay, so then, what movie? I have another idea, but nothing's coming to me. Well, Ryan could just edit it. It sounds like a lot less, right? He's talking about his dead air.
I could sign up for the free trial of Zoom Pro and we could go for a long time.
Longer than Oppenheimer? I'm going to say... Oh, no. Shit. Yeah, maybe. The Batman.
Strike 2 for Rick.
Oh. Okay. Now it gets interesting. So cartoons... there's got to be another cartoon movie. But was it? Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid, number 6. $298 million. 5 points for Ryan.
What do I have to do to win?
Get more points than him.
Oh, I can keep going.
What are left?
Number 3. Number 3 is still out there. That would pretty much tie things up, I think.
So what, 3-7?
It's 26-17.
Well, what's still out there?
3, 8, and 10.
3, 8, and 10, okay. So Rick really needs to get that 3.
He's got to get the 3, otherwise Ryan's going to get round number 1.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not if I get any of them, and then Ryan goes and strikes out.
Maybe. I mean, if you...
If you get one point and I strike out and then you get the number 3, then But
you still have to get the number 3.
Right. Let's go with...
Oh, you're going to kick yourself when you hear what it is.
It was Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Strike 3, Rick.
Oh, what?
You got 17 points in round 1. Ryan, do you want to try and add to your total or... Take your 26 points.
Is there any negative for me to make another guess?
No.
I'm going to guess the Tay-Tay movie, Eras Tour, or whatever it was.
No, strike 3. So Ryan ends up with 26.
Was Top Gun the year before?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I was wrestling
Number 10, Number 10 at 184 million was The Sound of Freedom.
Don't even know what that is.
Okay. Number 8 at 214 million was Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantum Bullshit.
Okay. Would never have gotten that.
They really crawled up their ass with these Marvel movies at this point, haven't they?
And number 3, 381 million was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Ugh.
The animated one.
Got it.
I should have got that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Ryan has a 9-point lead. That's fine. We're going into round number 2. Okay? Round number 2 of 4.
Points are doubled?
Okay, cool. Okay. We're 1/4 of the way through.
Yep, exactly. And all the rounds are played exactly the same.
Okay, great.
Okay. This is taken from a USA Today poll that was published last month. On what were the, according to their poll results, 10 best Super Bowl commercials in this year's Super Bowl, which technically happened in 2024, but it was the 2023 football season. So we're counting that with Oppenheimer. All you have to do is name the company that was advertised to get the points.
Okay.
Okay. Rick, you're trailing. You get to go first.
No hot hand.
No.
Budweiser.
Budweiser, old school Clydesdales, was number 8. Rick, you get 3 points.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts, the Dunkings, number 2.
Yes.
Ryan gets 9 points.
I don't remember a lot of the commercials.
Right.
Timu.
No, strike one for Rick.
There was a lot of them. Does
there was
count?
A lot of Timu commercials. No one voted them as the best. Right?
What was the Beyonce one? Was that
she's not a T-Mobile? Company. I mean, she probably
she
is.
She isn't a company.
Verizon.
Verizon. Yes, can't be broken with Beyonce. It was number 9. 2 points for Ryan. Ooh.
State Farm.
State Farm. Neighbor featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Number 1.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm going to go with the Michael Cera CeraV commercial.
My favorite commercial.
I have a passion.
Not on the list. Strike one for
I have
Ryan.
A passion for human skin.
What was... okay, if I can describe... Do I have to say the company, or can I tell you for sure you'll know which one it was?
We'll see. We'll see how I feel as you describe it. Do a good job.
The commercial that had Carl Weathers in it.
You're going to have to give me more than that.
That's all I got.
I don't know what he's talking about, do you?
No,
Ryan?
I don't.
And he was, like, he had died, and then they had him in it, and then they took him. Then they just said, like, they weren't going to have him in it, and then they put him back in it. And
I
it
think
said,
I know
like,
what he's talking about now.
It had the years and stuff of his
What do you think,
death.
Ryan? If I know what he's talking about and it's on the list, you think you should get
You
the
specifically
points?
Said companies.
No, he said you only have to name the company.
Which you did not do.
Fine.
Do you want to take a different guess?
Yeah. Geico.
No, strike two.
What about... Oh, it was a Christopher Walken one. It was Cars.
Don't nod. Why do you keep giving him clues? You gave him a clue in the last round,
too. You were right, too. The Carl Weathers one, I'm nodding at that one, too. Yep.
Was it?
The name of the commercial you were thinking of, Rick, is called Worth Remembering.
shit. Help. Mercedes.
No, strike two for Ryan. See, Rick, it didn't help him out at all.
Are you going to tell me what it was? Or are you going to save that for...
Well, if Rick guesses the company, then he gets the points for it, right? I can't. Yeah.
Coors.
Whores?
Coors.
Oh, Coors.
They're not advertising on the Super Bowl.
Not yet.
I mean, it was in Vegas, but...
right.
No, strike three. Ryan?
Uber Eats.
Uber Eats. Number four, Worth Remembering.
Oh!
7 points. You get to keep going, Ryan.
Oh, I get to keep
going?
What's
the score?
Yeah. Until you get three strikes.
What's the score?
You have 30. He has more than that. I don't know yet. He's still going.
Why don't we just move on?
Because I got two more rounds.
The point.
He can pad his lead here.
The points
matter. What about...
Maybe in the next round, the points will be doubled.
What about BMW?
BMW talking like walking.
Oh, it was. Oh, shit.
5 points. Number six.
Okay. And then.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was 4 points. It was number seven. Yeah.
My last one is. Was it whatever the Mohawk one was? Was it Kawasaki?
No, strike three. Okay, so Ryan, you got 18, 9, 22, 22 that round. You have 48 to Rick's 30.
Okay. Two more rounds. You're
still in it, Rick. Yeah. We're only halfway through.
You're welcome, you guys, Nick.
Number 10 was the Doritos, Dyna, and Mida.
Don't remember that one.
Number 5 was the NFL Born to Play halftime commercial.
That's kind of...
Number 6...
Does that really count? NFL advertising in the middle of the Super Bowl? Come on.
And number 3 was the Kia Perfect 10 commercial.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, here we go. Round number 3. Points are doubled.
Finally.
Okay, Ryan's up 48 to 30. I'm going to let Rick go first again on this. According to Politico.com, I have the 10... In 2023, the 10 Republican candidates for presidents based on their viability or likelihood to be
elected. Were there 10?
As the Republican nominee. Yes, there were 10.
Okay. Donald Trump.
Number one, 10 points, Rick.
Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis was number 3, worth 8 points, Ryan.
When was this poll taken?
Politico published it in like mid 2023.
Okay.
Before anyone dropped out.
Is this before or after any debates?
I believe it is after one debate.
Okay.
But this is just like people think
viability.
This is who Politico.com thought had the best shot of being the nominee.
Okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, strike one.
Ramaswamy.
Vivek Ramaswamy, number 6, 5 points for Ryan.
What is? Can I give you a? If you know this person's name,
yes, because you're getting beaten so badly. Sure.
Right. Right. What was Donald Trump's vice president's name?
It was Mike Pence.
Yeah, Mike Pence, that guy.
Number 5, 6 All points. Right.
Let's go with Tim Scott.
Tim Scott, number 7, 4 points.
Okay, and then the next guy, who's the guy that, like, you know, who's the guy that, like, you know, he's the drag queen guy? You know what I'm talking about? The guy that lies all the time.
Which one?
No, like, one? Like you know who I'm talking about. Like,
do you know who you're talking about, Ryan?
I
Bo
do.
Bo and Yang plays him on SNL all the time.
Okay, who's he talking about?
Oh, fuck, what's his name? I just blanked on it. Oh, they just took him out of Congress, and he's trying to go back in. George.
Yeah. And he was.
Santos.
Yeah.
George Santos.
Santos. Yeah, because when you said DeSantis, I was like, Santos. Yes.
Nope, strike two.
Okay.
And Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, number 2, 9 points for Ryan.
Mitt Romney.
Nope. Strike 3, Rick.
Okay, I'm out.
Rick is not up to date on his Republican candidates.
Weird. Who's left? There's that guy from Minnesota. No, from Montana. What's the score? Do I even need to pad my numbers at this point?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll be done.
Okay. Number 10 was Ryan Binkley.
Nope, wouldn't have got that one.
Number 9 was Christy Noem.
Oh, yeah, Noem from North Dakota.
Number 8 was Ted Cruz.
He was still in it?
Jeez. Mm-hmm. And number 4, Nikki Haley. Yeah,
that was the one I was keeping in my back pocket, but I forgot about it.
Yeah, I forgot about her too, because I was just like, we should have known that, because it wasn't that long ago when she stopped running.
Right.
Is it last week?
Last Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Rick has 62 points. Ryan has an even 100.
Nice.
Okay.
Final round. Points are triple.
Oh,
I got to dominate here.
Rick, you're up first. These are the top 10 global artists streamed on Spotify.
Okay. Taylor Swift.
Number 1, 10 points. You're typing.
That
Ryan.
Sounds like cheating.
I thought about it, then I thought better of it. I did stop. I could look.
You mean you started cheating?
He has
a noisy keyboard.
I'll still stare straight down the pipe and tell you Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny number 2. 9 points.
Ed Sheeran.
Not on the list.
I didn't think so.
I have not heard of half of these people.
Damn it, I have one.
Billie Eilish.
Well, you'll get another chance.
That's what I was going to say.
Not on the list. Strike one. Ooh, for Ryan.
Good.
She didn't put out an album this year.
She had the Barbie song.
Yeah, but just the song, not the album.
Well, but she's top streaming. Well, it says, yeah.
Top streaming artists.
Mm.
Right. So it could be the Beatles.
Nope, strike 2.
Drake.
Drake, number 4, 7 points for Ryan.
Did you said Spotify?
Yeah.
Okay. Rihanna.
Nope.
Post Malone.
Rick's out.
Post Malone.
Rick lost.
Post Malone.
Nope. Strike 2 for Ryan.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Ryan, you got...
He won. Who else was on that list?
148 to 92 was the final score.
Who else was on that list?
Number 10, Lana Del Rey.
Mm. Yep.
Number 9, Carol G.
Okay. Yep.
Number 8, SZA.
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 Okay. number 7, Travis Scott.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Wasn't he also one of the Republican candidates?
Tim Scott.
Probably.
Oh, okay. Number 6, Fade? F-E-I-D.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Number 5, Peso Pluma?
Nope. These probably
some international stuff.
Number 3, The Weeknd.
Weeknd. I didn't think he was
still
up there.
I wouldn't have got any of those at this point. Mm.
And for fun, here's my tiebreaker.
Okay.
In 2023, a 30-second Super Bowl ad cost $7 million.
Okay.
Adjusted for inflation, what is that in today's money?
Wait, so Super Bowl for the 2022 season for the Super Bowl that occurred in 2023.
Right.
Adjusted for 1 year later.
Based on this year's annual inflation, what is that today?
Can we use a calculator?
Is this your idea of inflation or actual?
No, I looked up what the current rate of inflation was and I multiplied it by $7 million.
Okay. So I'm going to say.
Price is Right rules?
$10.2 million.
Okay.
I'm going to say $1.
Well, okay. Rick's closer.
I asked you if it was Price is Right rules and you didn't answer.
Yeah, I'm still closer.
I didn't answer. Okay.
Well, we have deferred to Price is Right rules almost all the time.
Right. But there's no way you think that $7 million adjusted for inflation in today's money is a dollar.
No, but I don't think that it's $10 million.
No, that was a ridiculous guess.
Well, that's because every time Bill talks about inflation, he's like, it's 30, 55% more.
That's and only when I'm explaining your car insurance bill to you.
Right. Or when you're guessing how much a car costs in 1970 or a house.
No,
and you're like
$7,219,800.
So my real guess was going to be $7,500,000. So
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you went over, gone also. Over
also. But I was playing a game.
And that was the inflation rate currently of 3.14%.
So that's gotcha. Not aggregated over the time spent. It's just what it is right now.
Current annual inflation.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not doing complex trigonometry here.
Well, yeah. Who do you think he is? Oppenheimer?
Oh, yeah. That's
what Let's get into about. It. Let's get
into it. 3 minutes left on the Zoom.
Let's this just, episode is going to be the bomb.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby.
Do you guys think that, like...
Probably not.
What did you take from this movie?
Building an atomic bomb is stressful.
Ibuprofen.
Do you think that it should have been built?
The bomb?
Oh, wow. So now we're getting into the ethics of war.
Yep. Well, not even... Not really the ethics of war, per se.
Drink.
I mean, yes and no. ethics in general. The ethics of
Right. No, human. I want to talk about it. No, this is fun to talk about. Okay.
But before you do, mm-hmm. let's take a break.
Fine. I needed a haircut anyway.
All right. Which one? Get it?
Yeah.
You get your hairs cut.
Pubic, I think.
Leaving that in.
Check out, I forgot what it's called. It's in Portland. It's the hair place. Man, they've been sponsoring us for 2 years. What's it called? It's called Hairpin Salon. That's what it's called. Yeah, check out Hairpin Salon in Portland. Google it.
All right.
Should we build bombs? Is war good?
Okay, so this question is not should we have used the bomb?
No.
Should we have built the bomb?
Yes.
And I believe the answer is yes.
Why?
Deterrence. Because Germany was working on building the bomb and Russia was building the bomb.
Well, we only knew that they were attempting to build the bomb. Or we thought that they were attempting to build the bomb.
What is the difference between building and attempting to build?
Well, there was a lot of...
Finishing it. Yeah.
Right. So I didn't say they were finishing it. I said they were building it. I mean, maybe they blow themselves up, and that's fine, I guess. But that's what we were doing, too. We were attempting to build the bomb.
Okay, fine. Semantics.
But sometimes semantics matter.
But don't you think that... You know
what? I think I've said that 7 times this week. This has been a week where I have been arguing semantics all week long.
Well, I mean, that's kind of an assurance-y thing to do, right?
Yeah. Well, it was at home.
Oh, okay, but still. I think...
Yeah. Rick, you don't like war or countries, so I'm guessing you think we shouldn't have been building the bomb.
Well, I think you have to build the bomb if you know for a fact that someone else is going to build the bomb, which is why everyone else built the bomb.
Mm-hmm. And right? you know for a fact that they are trying to.
Sure.
You're convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that they are trying to. Not that you know, right. You're just, your gut says right. They are trying to.
Do you think it's a better course of action to build a bomb or to try and stop someone else from building the bomb?
How do you stop someone from building a bomb?
I don't go to war.
We were already there. Check.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like when they were building the bomb, at least according to this long ass movie I watched, they really didn't know what the impact was going to be.
Right.
They had guesses, but they didn't know. Right.
Well, right. Well, the whole thing, that whole Einstein thing.
Right,
that
is. But even when they were testing it, they were taking bets on how many kilotons of TNT it was going to have, right? Mm-hmm. And Oppenheimer was guessing 3, and it was 20.
Yeah. Right. Or if it could ignite the entire atmosphere.
No. Right, exactly. And so here's the thing. There already were bombs. So the question is, do you try to build a bigger bomb? Because guess what? After they built this bomb, they tried to build a bigger bomb. Right.
Well, and that's pretty, that's like basically the plot, the second plot of this movie is the whether or not they should or should not and will or will not build the bigger bomb, right? But the bigger bomb was never...
Is that the second story?
I thought the second story was revenge is a dish best served cold for petty assholes in government.
Well, I think that's the first plot. I think that's the overarching plot.
First and second plot were, boy, I keep falling asleep and I'm not sure if I'm picking up on what's happening.
Can I just say again, and I'll admit, this movie I watched in one sitting.
As did I.
Okay.
But I did not only watch this movie in the sitting. Right? If you're picking up what I'm putting down. And
You'd watch Barbie the same. You did a Barbenheimer at the exact same time.
No, I was on my phone and doing other stuff.
Sure, right, yeah.
But it was playing the whole time and I was paying somewhat attention to it, right? But this movie, having just watched Out of Sight, I was just like...
What a hard transition that is.
Well, and I was like, can I no longer follow... Are movies just not chronologically in order anymore? Do we not start with the beginning of a movie and move towards the end of a movie? Like, I would like to watch a movie that was just like, here's the beginning, and here's the middle, and here's the end. Because this movie was like, all over the place chronologically.
Well, I think they at least attempted to give you some clues on where things were in time, like with the black and white versus the color and the different like makeup levels of the actors.
Yeah, you know that classic cinema trick of making black and white be the future and color be the past.
Well, but they made a distinction. They made a distinction, at least.
Yeah, they did. They did, yeah. Yeah. I just, it's weird to me that Oppenheimer would be more confusing than Inception.
I mean,
well, it's Nolan Nolaning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's less confusing than Tenet, which nobody can understand.
Here's the thing about Oppenheimer. Well, okay. But here's the thing about Christopher Nolan is, can you imagine this movie being made by anybody else? Like,
no.
It would have been real bad.
Anyone else makes this movie, it doesn't win Best Picture.
Well, I don't finish watching it.
Right.
I don't care at all if someone else, but I think Christopher Nolan is like, he's so good at making movies.
Agreed.
This was a long, pretty boring movie that I think is deserving of winning Best Picture of the year.
Really?
Well, compared to the other ones?
Compared to the other ones, except for Barbie.
Barbie should have won.
But Barbie wasn't nominated.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't?
Not for Best Picture.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, it wasn't.
It was, and it should have won.
It wasn't for Best Actress or Best.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I liked Barbie better. It's not objectively a better movie. It's not better made.
It was made pretty well.
Sure. But they built a bomb in this movie and blew it up.
Right. Sure.
Like, that's it's fine. Crazy. So, you know, Christopher Nolan doesn't use special effects. Like, he uses practical effects when he makes movies.
There's no CGI.
Yeah, which is wild, the things that he does. It's acted very well.
Yes.
And the subject matter is, it's just dry, but he did elevate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was good, and it was well made. I agree. But... like, your question of should we have built the bomb, I think if you're going to say we should have a military and we should defend ourselves, you have to say, yes, we should build the bomb. Like,
sure.
Well, yeah, given that set of circumstances, right?
I think, and not only that, but look back at history, no one's ever... used an atomic weapon on another country again ever since then.
Yeah.
So, so whatever else you want to say, nuclear deterrence worked.
Has worked so far.
Or yeah. That's a better clarification. Nuclear deterrence has worked up to the recording of this episode.
Right. Well, but, and that's because of mutually assured destruction, right? Like, if someone sends a nuclear bomb towards someone, there's one coming right back at him.
Well, but
that's why you build it.
But
if that party is an organized, recognized government,
right? It's not a guerrilla actor.
But who has a nuclear bomb that's not one of those?
I don't think we know.
I don't think there's a lot of secret nuclear bombs.
Well, so the one case I would take is the India-Pakistan situation.
Right.
Exactly. If they went to nuclear war with each other, that wouldn't mean that either Russia or China or United States would fire nuclear bombs, right?
Sure.
Nuclear. Are we saying it right?
I always forget.
I think it's nuclear.
Yeah. I thought I was saying it wrong.
Wasn't W say nuclear? Yes.
Nuclear. Nuclear. That makes sense. So it's like
the thing is, the thing that I think is crazy is when they showed that scene when Oppenheimer is like, or Oppie. I can't believe they called him
Oppie. It was the '40s.
Like, I know, but it's so stupid. Like, just call him Rob or something. Oppie. When he was talking,
was Gary Oldman Harry Truman?
No,
he's not in this movie.
No, but when they were in that scene, when he says, you know, I feel like he didn't say responsible,
blood
but
on my
he
hands.
Said he felt like he had blood on my hands, and he's like, they don't care who built the bomb; they care who dropped the bomb.
Right? Yeah.
And I'm like,
which is true,
right? Which is also
Rick
disconcerting.
You are incorrect. Right? It is Gary Oldman.
Ha ha.
It is?
See, I'm telling you, the guy's a chameleon.
Crazy.
Yeah, I saw him and I was like, I can't believe that's him again. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say something. We were talking about Gary Oldman earlier, or last week or whatever, but I held my tongue because...
But you were so unsure you had to look it up before coming to my aid.
Correct.
In that conversation.
Correct.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
Hey,
he's in a lot of stuff.
I backed you up.
Yeah, once you had your computer verify it for you.
If I play any role in this podcast, it's verifying things on the computer.
Do you know who I'm surprised?
Sometimes accurately.
Do you know who I'm surprised didn't show up in this movie?
Who?
There's an actor who I think is in every movie ever made, or TV show at least.
I thought you were going to say Tom Hardy, because Nolan likes him.
It's Fred Armisen. Have you ever noticed that Fred Armisen shows up in everything?
Mostly
TV wise.
I'm not surprised he's not in this.
Right.
I am. I see.
Are you surprised Will Ferrell isn't in this movie?
I've made a joke about watching movies and TV shows, and Fred Armisen shows up in them all the time. And then recently I started watching a Spanish language show called Los Espooky. Mm-hmm. And he showed up in that and he's speaking Spanish. Like, what is happening? Anyway,
it's kind of wild. Some of the people that are in this movie.
Going back to that. Hang on. Yeah. So when I was saying that, like that whole thing, like they don't care who dropped the bomb, they care who dropped the bomb. I'm like, that's scary in itself that someone has that power.
Yeah, I think the most disturbing thing that's probably true about this movie was the idea that they felt like Japan was going to surrender anyway and the war was almost over, but they wanted to drop the bomb to prove to Russia that they were willing to do it and threaten Russia at the beginning to the buildup to the Cold War.
Right. That they were so afraid of Russia's potential that they needed to flex that muscle to show to them that, like, hey, we're not afraid to use it. We've already conquered it and we're a step ahead of you.
It's kind of insane that in the largest military global conflict in history, we and Russia were allies.
Right.
And then the second it ended, they became the villain in every movie for 70 years.
Well, but
I'm so sick of Russia.
I thought you were going to say I'm so sick of World War II.
No, just Russia in general. Like, my whole life,
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
We've been low key scared of Russia.
Right.
Since I was
except
born.
For like there are 5 years.
Right. our parents have the Nazis. We have right. the Russians. Our kids have
China
terrorists. Yeah.
The Russians still.
The Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bomb. Well,
the bomb.
Trying to gather my thoughts here. Oh, back to there's some low key actors or low key characters in this that are played by some pretty big actors. Did you know Kenneth Branagh was in this movie?
He was
Niels Bohr.
Doesn't know who Kenneth Branagh is.
I know who Kenneth Branagh is.
Oh, he was okay.
Because he directed Much Ado About Nothing and starred in it, and I really like that version of that play.
He was Niels Bohr.
Okay.
Matt Damon was in this movie. No.
Yeah.
Casey Affleck, of course. I didn't pick up on him in the beginning.
I did. Matt Damon was pretty good in this movie.
I liked how he played that character. I thought so too. Especially with the
Matt Damon's good in everything.
He's
good in a lot of things.
What has he not been good
in? I haven't seen the movie. I heard he wasn't good. Well, I don't know. He's fine.
He's fine. Right? Matt Damon. I don't think he's like the best actor in the world in every movie he's in.
I'm just saying, Matt Damon is covered in sewage is better than George Clooney.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Clooney's smoother. Damon's a little more. I don't know.
Yeah, but Damon's funnier.
True.
Yeah, he's more versatile.
But who do I want covered in sewage
than George Clooney?
Who do you want to be locked in the trunk of a car with?
I think Matt Damon could get me out of it easier.
Holy shit, it's Jason Bourne.
He's Jason Bourne. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So I think that's probably better.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say I liked Jason Bourne. I liked Matt Damon at the end of the interview scene where he has a middle line between, yes, I knew the risks of Oppenheimer and all these scientists and all their backgrounds, but we needed to do it anyway because we had a mission. Instead of...
Well, and he wouldn't clear any of them now with the new rules.
But that's the insanity of that question.
Yeah. Well,
is just crazy, right? Because guess what? You were also allies with Russia at the time, and you aren't allies with Russia now. You're in a nuclear standoff.
And you were only allies with Russia for the last 50% of the war because you knew you couldn't beat Germany at their peak without them.
Right. That'd be like asking someone, hey, in 1750, were you cool with the British? What about in 1780?
Yeah.
Nope, not as cool with the British.
Also, Rami Malek in this movie popped up. I'm like, holy shit, he's in this movie?
Yeah, at the very end.
I mean, sprinkled through, but his big part was at the end.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie.
I felt like, so the girl who played his like crazy communist mistress, she's not known.
Florence
right?
Pugh? Like, she's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, did she win an Academy Award for Frances Ha, or is she just in it or something, right?
She's in Dune. I'm scrolling through here. Hold on.
I might be wrong on that movie, but I thought that was her.
Nominated.
I felt like that role should have been played by, what's her face? The second girlfriend in his Batman movies. What? Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie,
yeah. That seemed like her kind of role.
She was she was nominated for supporting actress in 2020 for Little Women for the Academy Awards. Did not win. Silence from the crowd.
Right.
All right, moving on.
I didn't notice.
I averted my eyes.
Why did this movie have to be this long?
It didn't.
What would you have cut out of this movie?
I think I would have cut a lot of the like Oppenheimer being like overwhelmed with noises and vibrations and things. Like how much of the how how many minutes was he just like, there was no sound and he's just looking stressed and like everything was blurred? A lot of it, like 20 minutes. I want those 20 minutes back, is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't even know if you need all of the, like, the whole Robert Downey Jr. thing.
Right. Yes. That's what I was going to say. I don't think you need the scenes of him, like, in the back room getting busted by the FBI. You were the mastermind. Yeah, I was the mastermind. Yeah. Like, right. All of that sort of thing. That could all be revealed in the Rami Malek scene.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. That was like, I don't know. It didn't feel forced. It just felt like so much. Like, I wish that these directors, this happens in a lot of Oscar movies. I feel like being a good director, you should show some restraint sometimes. Cut some stuff out of your precious movie that you made.
Well, and I think that's when you're a director like Nolan, who's been so critically acclaimed, made a bunch of money on the Batman movies, and made a bunch of hits after that, you're given carte blanche, and you're not held to a standard of keeping your work tight, and like they're allowed to just do whatever.
Well, not only that.
Well, like the Scorsese one that came out with De Niro and Pacino, right, where it was like four and a half hours. One, was it called?
Way too long.
The
Watchmen.
No,
I think the problem is, when you're Christopher Nolan and you're given this script and you're given the budget and, you know, basically saying you spend whatever you want on this, we know it's going to make $1 billion eventually, right? That he's going, I don't need to make a fun movie that people enjoy because I've already made those. Mm-hmm. I don't need a commercial hit because I have all the money I'm ever going to need for the rest of my life. I have to swing for Oscar.
Right. Well, right? And
so he's making this movie with the sole aim of winning Best Picture. Like, before it even came out, that's like the goal, is that this movie wins an Oscar. And so that's why it's so long, is to like swing for this epic proportion.
Well, and then to also set up all of the actors, all of the A-list actors that are in it for a performance that is worthy of being nominated of an Oscar. You know, it's an attempt at an Oscar run that won. And why would they not try it again? Because it's worked.
Right. And it worked again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you were from outer space,
which you've accused me of being.
I was going to say, verdict's still out. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
And if you were hatched in an egg in a cave.
Yeah. And you knew nothing about
movies
history, would you think that this movie was real?
I don't know that this movie has enough history in it to give you context if you've never heard of World War II.
I don't know if I would believe that someone dropped that bomb like on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah. Like it bottles my mind that happened. Like, when I was a kid, I remember, like, do you remember, like, seeing pictures of, like, you know, the mushroom cloud, and you heard about these bombs being dropped?
Hot Topic, and there were pictures in the posters in the little poster thing of, like, an atomic bomb going off.
Yeah, because there's like a joke. There's something.
That's like that poster thing.
Yeah, and it said it had a weird quote. Yeah. Right? It had a funny quote or something. But
is it weird that our touch point for World War II is Hot Topic?
A little bit. It's a hot button issue.
Children of the 80s.
I mean, unite. My grandpa was in World War II.
Uh-huh. Has he ever been in a Hot Topic?
I think he died before Hot Topic existed.
Did you ever? I mean,
do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I'm good.
How old were you?
He died when I was six. I don't really remember him.
Have you guys ever thought about the scope of 200,000 people getting killed by a bomb?
No.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened in human history.
It's wild. Like, and it's not even talked about.
Lost our minds and still have forever lost our minds over 3,500 people on September 11th.
Right. And no one ever talks about. So when you people talk about the bomb, they only talk about the bomb and that it happened. It's never a conversation about all the people, all the innocent civilians that were killed. Like, it's crazy. It's just, it's wild. Is.
But also, in more recent history, the first thing I Googled for coronavirus, 7 million people died related to coronavirus.
But no one released coronavirus on another nation.
Allegedly. Well, allegedly.
Says allegedly.
but I'm only quoting it. I know that's controversial, and I know there's a lot of debate about those numbers and how real they are. But that's a lot more people, and that was a lot more recent. And it doesn't feel the same way, right?
So let me ask you this. Let's say tomorrow Japan develops a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
Do they drop it on us?
Well, is this taking out all of the past history out of it, or just like today, the way everything is?
I'm saying actually, for real today.
No, there's no way they drop it on us. We'd annihilate them.
Right. Can you imagine a scenario where someone drops a nuclear weapon on the U.S. and we don't also drop a nuclear weapon on them?
Also, no.
Right.
Can you imagine someone dropping a bomb on the U.S. and half of the people in Wyoming are gone? Because that's
who is that?
The population of Wyoming is 581,000 people.
Really? That seems high.
That's the lowest. That's the least populous state.
I'm saying that if they drop a nuclear weapon, they're probably not dropping it on half of Wyoming.
Sure. But if they did, it's all those people are gone. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Did you know that 90% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border?
I did know that.
That's crazy, too.
It is crazy. Well,
it's got a lot of empty space up there.
Well, how much of Ontario is southern of the northernmost portion of the U.S. border, right? Right.
What did you say?
That's that thing where, like, we were talking about the Journey song, right? Born and raised in South Detroit. And if you go straight south of Detroit, you're in Canada.
Right.
Well, do you remember that? Do you remember, like, first year of this podcast trivia about the northern, southern, what was it? And we were like, we had a debate.
The southernmost point of Canada and the northernmost point of the U.S.?
Something like that. But like Michigan was further north than Canada or something.
Yeah. Detroit's the only U.S. city where you can drive straight south and go into Canada.
Major city, yes. If you
here we go again.
The little nodule of Washington that's completely in.
You mean Point Roberts?
Yes, Point Roberts.
But you can't drive from Point Roberts south.
Is it only ferry?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's no length.
Well, technically, you drive a car onto
a ferry,
and they're part of the interstate system. So therefore, it's a road.
Nope.
Ipso facto, you drive south.
Let's follow your stupid ass logic for a minute. If you drive a car from Point Roberts onto a Washington State ferry that is part of the interstate system, you will not arrive in Canada.
But what if you drive south from Victoria? Never mind.
That's Canada.
That's why I said never mind. I thought I had a thought, but I didn't.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. I think that we are done with Oppenheimer, don't you?
Let's take a vote. Should we have dropped the bomb? Yes.
Should we have
dropped the bomb? Not made the bomb, dropped the
Ryan
bomb. Ryan says yes.
I'm going with no.
All right. And on that
I don't think we should have dropped it, Ryan. Why do you?
I still believe that the level of casualties that would have been incurred by both parties trying to take the mainland of Japan would have been greater than the number of casualties by us dropping the bomb. Now, were innocents involved? Yes, that's terrible. I don't like that. That's not a good thing. But I don't think I think the premise is correct that Japan would not have stopped fighting until they were completely defeated or completely out of troops, and we would have lost more troops and more people collectively than if we would have not done it.
Okay, so you're saying...
I'm buying the line. I'm buying the government line.
Right, but the implication there, though, is that... that as long as the total number is lower, it's okay to trade innocent civilians for military personnel. With any logical effort, actually argue that more innocent civilians would have been killed had the war been ongoing and lasted.
So my point is based on the argument they make in the movie where they had the Tokyo firebombing, where how many civilians got killed just in that act to pave the way for a ground attack inside of Japan. And so if we didn't have this technology, they would have continued to do that anyway, right? I think that they would have continued to carpet bomb Japan with everything we had from the Pacific Fleet, and those people would have died anyway, and then also Americans would have died.
So the Americans were going to slaughter hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians anyway, so we might as well do it in two fell swoops.
Fuck around and find out.
When I say no, I actually don't have enough information or opinions on the bombing itself. And Ryan makes a point that is understandable. Bill makes a point that's understandable. I just don't want to go to war. So it's I have this bleeding heart liberal bullshit thing. I said I don't want to drop a bomb, but not because I don't think it made sense.
I don't want to drop any bombs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't want other people to drop bombs either.
I'm going to do a Rick thing and mention another podcast that I can't remember the name of, which is real awesome.
It's called Don't Bomb Us, Bro.
Hardcore History, which has a whole story on how absolutely terrible the Japanese were to the entire Asian continent during their reign during World War II, and you know, the rape of Nanking and all the other stuff that went on in China. I don't think that they were innocent in this whole thing. They were definitely a belligerent, and they definitely now that does that mean that innocents needed to be killed in those two cities? No, but
so you're saying that they were uncivilized savages and therefore it was okay to slaughter them wholesale to save American lives?
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying look into the history and I gave you a resource.
I think that you also...
I like depends, to poke the bear.
Part of it depends, too,
I don't identify as a bear.
The kind of... It depends on your thinking if you're the kind of person that believes an eye for an eye. Right?
Mm.
But it wasn't even an eye for an eye.
Well, but it... Okay, right. What it is, it's actually...
It's preemptive. It's an eye because you think they might take your eye.
Well, it's disproportional response for Pearl Harbor, right?
It's an eye for someone else. It's for someone else's eye and for some other eyes, right?
Well, and it also, like...
The eyes have it.
And it also, like, sets up this whole American protectionist thing where, like, well, we're going to go out and be world police and all that stuff, so... We're not a political podcast, nor are we a history podcast. We like to talk about movies.
But when we're going to talk about a movie that deals with politics and history, I think it's worth having the conversations.
Oh, for sure. I just wanted to put that disclaimer in there because we're just three fucking 40-year-old dudes talking on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did we feel about Oppenheimer? Climometer time.
What did I get the holdovers last week? 20?
Rick, 20. You gave the holdovers a 20. Bill gave it a 30, and I gave it a 36.
I give Oppenheimer a 55.
I give Oppenheimer a 66.
I'm in the middle, I think. I think it's a 60.
And I could say maybe it'd be higher if this movie was 40 minutes shorter. I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, it drags in a couple spots. Like we said, the Robert Downey Jr. parts are a little bit like extra.
Like, you know, here's an example.
I think Christopher Nolan should just pull a Peter Jackson, release a consumer version, and then do his extended bullshit for the true fans.
To Oppenheimer, the Desolation of Smaug.
That is now the title of this episode.
So here's the example of something I think they should change. What happened to Bill?
I think I passed out.
That one really got him, I think.
This one really grabs you by the boo-boo.
The example of what needs to be cut from this movie is the beginning of the movie. Tired. You show him go talk to
Einstein.
And then at the end of the movie, they reshow that whole scene and then tell you what they said, right? Mm-hmm. You could have just like, you could have wrapped that up. You didn't have to like jump back in time to show the same conversation that really didn't affect anything.
Right. Didn't they show that conversation three different ways?
Mm-hmm. I think it seems like it.
They showed him like walking down there and not having it. And then they showed the actual conversation they had. Then later they showed him like leaving that conversation and going back to Robert Downey.
They did milk it.
And they said, you know, and because you thought it might ignite the universe, you know, the atmosphere and that whole thing. He like explained it and it's like,
I think it did.
Right. Yeah. Which that was a good line.
Yeah.
This should have been an Einstein movie. That would have been more interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did like the aide at the end, Robert Downey's aide, like sticking the knife in at the end. He's like, maybe they were talking about something that actually was important. Like, oh, sick burn.
Yeah. I mean, you know, RDJ got his Oscar.
Yep.
That's fine.
Did Killian he get supporting got one actor.
Yeah, and Killian got best actor, and the movie got best picture. I think they got best director, probably.
Did it get best screenplay, too?
Probably bested. Well, was it a book? No. Was it an original?
Nolan wrote it, so it's probably original.
Really?
Well, Nolan and two others, but...
Yeah.
Kai Bird and Martin Sherwin.
I wonder what it takes... What do you think it honestly takes someone like Christopher Nolan to write a movie? Like, how much studying does he do?
He probably reads several biographies and then gets together with some screenwriters and is like, this has to be in here. This has to be in here. You know what I mean? He's probably more directing the writing than doing the writing.
Yeah.
But
so on a completely different and totally pedantic note, I find it interesting that Kodak made a specific film to be able to shoot the black and white portions of this film because Nolan would not shoot in digital to make this movie.
It wasn't IMAX?
No, it was film. It was actual film, not digital.
Right.
IMAX could still be film at 70 millimeters. But Kodak went into production for a special kind of film just for this movie.
And I remember seeing a picture of it. They had like it on one reel.
Yeah,
it was like huge. 4 miles long. Yeah. Yeah.
The frames are like the size of a monitor.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been a good episode, and I think it's really going to make this podcast blow up.
You've been sitting on that one for a minute.
Mm-hmm. It won Best Achievement in Music, Written for Motion Picture, so original score, Movie of the Year, Director, Actor, Supporting Actor, Cinematography, Editing. I don't know about that.
I'll bet the internet knows all of this stuff and people can look it up, right?
Makeup and hairstyling, best sound. Oh, that's just nominee.
You have 90 seconds to say goodbye, Rick.
Goodbye, Rick.
Goodbye, Rick.
Well, I think it about wraps it up for this week. I really want to thank all of the listeners out there. We really do appreciate you. Please take a minute to check out our socials. We are on Instagram at @MisseducationofBill. We are on at @MisseducationofBill, and please email us at MisseducationofBill@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and like us on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find us on all of the major apps, Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else you can find your podcast. A special thanks goes out to Wyatt Only and The Wreckage for letting us use their music on the podcast. You can find them on Spotify and at WOATW.com.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Bill.
Bye.
We're going to be tight on your heart out. But we'll figure it out later. We thought we were going to do four. We only did three. So we might need to hit one next week.
Now turn out all of the lights so I can see you in the dark. My little succubus, I know that you can't feed off dead hearts. Now give me a sign. Show me the way to escape this endless night.
Another dream.